speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
A few weeks ago, we started a mini-series in regard to our need to serve our God in a way that will please Him as we dwell here in this world. In our first lesson, if you will recall, we talked about the Scripture idea in regard to serving God is not about me, but rather it is about our God, to make certain that God is glorified in every facet of our life, that God is glorified through all the things that we do in name of serving Him, but also it's about the church, making certain that our brothers and sisters are edified through the works that we do within the body, but also whenever it comes to our serving. It is about others. It is about even those who are outside of the body of Christ. Last week, we talked about the need for us to serve as Christians in order to win others to Christ. And in order for us to accomplish this, the world needs to know that not only we love God, but good people, also we have a love for each and every individual. And as a result of that, then, we are to express our concern and to demonstrate our sincere concern that we have for every single soul that we come in contact in order so that we might be able to open up doors as hearts then would open up to hearing what it is that God wants man to do in order for them to be counted as one of His servants also. Tonight, I want us to look at a lesson that is entitled Wired for Service, and in this, I want us to consider the idea of serving God through compassion for others. Compassion is a feeling of concern that is conjoined with loving actions in order to fulfill the needs that are laid before us. And we think in regard to serving with compassion, and I believe that we certainly would think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything that He did while He was here, He did it out of a love for our God, but also out of a love, a very sincere love for His fellow man. And the characteristics that we find in the life of Christ concerning compassion, I think we also find those traits in the apostles. The apostles went everywhere, not only preaching and teaching the Word, but these men were men who had genuine compassion in their life. And this also then became characteristic of the first century church. The church, as it was launching out, not only into the streets of Jerusalem, but into Judea, Samaria, and into the othermost parts of the earth, we find is that these individuals not only loved God, but they also loved the souls of every individual that they were coming in contact with. As we think in regard to the way in which this applies to us tonight, some people are natural servants. In that, it is a part of their nature. Why do these people serve in a natural way? I believe sometimes it's because others have touched their lives. Maybe someone has served them individually, or maybe they have had service rendered unto their family, and as a result then of this kindness, then they also want to be able to be a positive in the lives of others. And for that reason then, they have worked to allow this to become a part of their nature. But oftentimes we find is that people are a product of their society. And what I mean by that is that they have had either parents or a parent who has been a servant themselves. And the children grow up around this type of an atmosphere, around this type of an attitude, and this type of a servant. And therefore, the children take upon themselves then, as they grow and mature, to also be a servant in life. They develop this over time. But also, we need to be honest and to point out is that sometimes people serve because they feel as if they are expected to. What causes this? Sometimes I believe that it's because they have been burned in life by someone who maybe said that they were going to do something for them, and as a result of that, they never followed through, and hence they are burned as a result of that, or a given situation, maybe a bad situation that went worse even, and as a result of that, then they just stand back, and they feel as if they don't want to reach out in a loving or compassionate way to others. Also, though, more times than not, it's because individuals feel as if they have something better to do. They feel as if they have things that are more important than reaching out to help their fellow man in this. Also, though, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes it might be the result of the fact that they've never been taught. They've never been instructed in regard to what it is that the Lord commands us to do as servants, that we need to be reaching out to people in a very compassionate way. And if they've never been instructed concerning these things, then naturally they're not going to engage in it in their life. As we think in regard to people who serve the Lord, sometimes we find individual members who put their heart, soul, and mind into serving our God. These people pour their soul into serving. They find areas wherein that people need to be visited, and they will go and they will visit members and even others whenever they are in the hospitals. They will go and they will sit and visit with these individuals and even pray with them. They will not only go to the hospitals, they will go to the nursing homes where that these individuals reside, and they have compassion for situations that they find these souls in, and because of their love for the soul, as well as because of their adoration for God, and they want to be able to lift the spirits of those individuals, they are constantly going to the nursing homes and to those who are shut in. We have many here. Beautiful women who engage in fixing food for our widows and those who are weak, and sometimes even for those who are wayward. Why do they do this? I believe it's because they have compassionate hearts. They love souls, and they want so much to be able to not only feed the physical, but also to have an opportunity to encourage the spiritual soul of that individual. And we have others who engage in service work for those individuals who are less fortunate, or maybe someone is dealing with sickness and are elderly who are not able to do things for themselves. We have a lot of people who certainly demonstrate compassion, and they pour their heart, soul, and mind into it. Sometimes Christians are like the Good Samaritan. They find the need that is there, and then they reach out to do all that is within their power to do to make certain that those needs are fulfilled. Good people, in the context, as was our scripture reading a few moments ago from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 29, the scripture identifies to us that a certain lawyer came and tempted or tested Jesus, and Jesus was tempted and tested time and time again by a vast number of people. The Pharisees typically were engaged in tempting and testing Christ. And as this certain lawyer came to Christ and tempted Him, the Scripture says that he inquired concerning eternal life. What is it that I must do in order for me to inherit eternal life? I believe that initially he might have been wanting Jesus to have said, well, you're a Jew, and based off of the fact that you are connected with Judaism, you're going to be okay because you're the seed of Abraham. But that's not what the Lord asked or responded with. He responded in saying, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? In other words, whenever you read the law, what is your interpretation of what is said? And the man answered him and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And how is it that Jesus answered this man? Good people, and Jesus initially answered him in saying, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. Not only will you live physically, but Jesus says that if you will keep the aspects and all of the angles that are associated with loving God with every fiber of your being and your neighbor as yourself, then he says, in like figure, you're going to have eternal life. The man certainly did not understand exactly what it was that Jesus was laying before him. And Jesus then extends the teaching, and he teaches him in a parable that involves a priest, a Levite, and a good Samaritan. And the individual would not have had any problem with the mentioning of the priest and the Levite, and even the situation that was before them, and the fact that whenever they came upon this individual who had been robbed as well as wounded and left half dead, and they passed by the wayside or on the other side, he would not have had any problem with this. But what it is that Jesus identifies concerning the Samaritan. The Samaritan, whenever he came upon this individual, the Samaritan, demonstrated compassion. He was the one who extended a neighborly hand. He's the one who extended love and concern, and who went the extra mile in making certain that this man's needs were fulfilled. Good people, also in the context I want to point out is that every situation is not providence. We speak in regard to the way in which God works providentially, and God operates providentially today, not miraculously, but God is engaged in the affairs of life. He knows what goes on in our life, and He's always working for the good in our life, and even to open up opportunities or situation. But if you look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 31, Jesus says, "Now by chance." Sometimes things happen by chance. And here in the context, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and whenever he saw the individual, he passed on the other side. And then the Levite, whenever he came to that area, that same place where this individual's laying there wounded and half dead, he also passed on the other side. But the Samaritan, whenever he came, this individual did what needed to be done. He extended God's love. He extended not only God's love, but he also extended the love that he had. The Scripture says not that God had compassion upon him, but rather the Scripture tells us that He had compassion upon this individual. And what is it that the Lord says, not only to this lawyer, but unto each and every one of us who are in Christ today, that we are to go and to do likewise? What does that mean? Good people, that means that we need to be neighborly. It means that being neighborly has as much to do with our salvation as everything else. But not only being neighborly, being neighborly out of love, concern, and out of compassion. What do we find characteristic in regard to this man, this Samaritan? Good people, I think from the context we learn is that this man had observing eyes. Oftentimes, we, as well as people back then, get so wrapped up in our life that we walk around with tunnel vision. We only think about those things that are right before us. And we need to have peripheral vision to where we're looking out continually to the situations that are around and about us. And this man demonstrated peripheral vision. He is looking out and he sees not only what is right in front of him, but he sees off to the side. He finds this individual. The Scripture says, seeing him, he was observant to the situation. And God wants you and me to be observant to the situations that He lays before us. There are so many people today who are like this individual. Maybe they've not been robbed. Maybe they've not been wounded. But still at the same time, they have needs. And those needs need our attention. They need for us to see. And if we're not able to do something to help them with the need, at least for us to recognize the fact of the situation that they are in and to speak to them. And maybe if we can't help, maybe we will be able to point them into the direction to where that they will indeed be able to receive the type of work or the type of help that they are inquiring of. But also, if you looked at the context, this man here, he had a flexible schedule. Oftentimes today, and even back then, we schedule ourselves to the max. I read a bulletin board or a board on a church building this past week, I believe it was, that if you're ever going to catch up, you might actually have to slow down. And there's a lot of truth to that. And whenever it comes to our being able to serve God and to serve our fellow man with compassion, we need to slow down sometimes to take a step back from our busy life. And I know that we live in a busy world that is very demanding of us. And in that, by all means, I'm not saying that we go half-hearted whenever we're working, because we need to make certain that while we are working, if we are working for an employer, that we're giving them our all and that we're worthy of the pay in which we're receiving. But what I'm saying is whenever it comes to our schedules, we need to step back ourselves and to say, what can I do in service for the Lord? And whenever I'm given an opportunity or a situation, what am I willing to do in order to help this individual or people, if there are more than one, people who are in need in the situation? The Scripture tells us concerning this man is that not only did he have observing eyes, but he had a flexible schedule to where he said, you know, this is more important than where I'm going. This is more important than what I'm going to do. The Scripture says that he went and he helped this individual. He helped him by pouring oil and wine over him, and then bandaging the wounds, and then caring for this man. The Scripture identifies in a very explicit way that this man had compassion for this person at that given time. Well, what is that compassion? That compassion is care. He actually cared for this soul. He recognized, I think, that at least in part, is that a fellow man was in need. An individual who has a soul, as Christians, that's the care that we need to have. Not only for the physical, but also to see the spiritual and the eternal part of those individuals that come to us or that we come upon that have true, genuine needs. Not only do we find in this compassion, concern, or care, excuse me, care, but we also find concern. He had genuine concern, and then he considered the man's situation as well as his situation and what he was capable of doing in order to meet the need that was laid before him at that given time. I believe also, as you look to the context of Luke chapter 10, verses 35 through verse 37, this man had a sacrificial disposition or character about him. Why do I say that? He took him in and he cared for himself as he had rented or paid for a night's stay, if you would, here in the inn. But not only did he take care of the wages or of the expense that they had incurred up to that point in time, giving the man 2 denarii, I believe that there was an overpayment there, more than likely, anticipating that the man was going to receive further care. But he also identifies is that if the bill goes higher, the next time that I come through, I'm going to take care of all of his expenses, of all that is required in order for him to get back upon his feet. And I ask tonight, how many of us would be willing to do half that? Not necessarily all. How many of us would be willing to do all that? But how many of us even would be willing to do half of that? It saddens me to say that a lot of times we find is that we're too involved in our own lives, or we're too involved in going out and doing the things that we want to do and spending money on the things that we want to spend money on, but still at the same time, whenever we have situations, legitimate causes, opportunities to serve as servants of the Most High God, then we will allow those opportunities to pass by us with doing little or, even worse yet, doing nothing. God wants us to have a sacrificial disposition as His children. Why? Because He Himself is sacrificial. I want us to also consider some points here as we bring this lesson to a close. In the context of Scripture, it is revealed here that eternal life is contingent upon the love that we have for our fellow man. I cannot have eternal life without fulfilling the commandment to love my neighbor. That is what God is identifying here in the context, but even in the broader context of the New Testament Scripture. I will not be able to go spend eternity in heaven with my God unless I demonstrate love for my neighbor. But also, love is demonstrated in compassion. I cannot have love for my neighbor without having compassion for him. Isn't that what Jesus is identifying here in the context? I mean, it's not enough to say I have love for my neighbor. It's not enough to say that I love that individual and I want them to go to heaven. But God identifies from the context of this parable that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, presents is that we've got to have compassion with action. We've got to have feelings about the situation that of people that we come in contact with, not only feelings for their soul, but to feel their pain, to feel the situation that they are in, and then to act upon it. But also, compassion is developed in open hearts. I cannot feel compassion unless I am willing to open my heart to the pain and the needs that others have going on in their life. We've got to open our hearts. If we want people to open their hearts and to be receptive to the Lord, then you and I, as Christians, as children of God, we must open our heart to our fellow man and to see their pain and to understand, to relate with them in the situations that these individuals are in. Good people, this will cost us time. We've got to be willing to give of our time to be servants of the Most High God. It will also cost us money. There's that sacrifice in ways that sometimes challenges us. But also, we've got to be willing to give of our energy. And I know that we live in a world that's very demanding of our time, of our money, and of our energy. But still, at the same time, as Christians, we serve God above all. And therefore, we need to save some of that energy so that we can invest that energy back into serving with compassion towards our fellow man. But also, we need to be there in a way that it might cost us from a comfortable standpoint. We might have to do things that we're not comfortable with. We may have to step out of our comfort zones, is what I'm saying, in order for us to be able to serve in a way with compassion that will be pleasing and acceptable to our God. You know, the Bible identifies to us is that God's judgment is greater than the judgment that we have. And sometimes our heart, God has given us a heart, He's given us a conscience to judge us, but yet at the same time, the conscience is not always a safe guide, but still, from time to time, our conscience, whenever we hear things like what we've heard tonight from the Word of God, might say, you know, you're not quite doing what God commands you to do. You don't have the compassion that is necessary. And God tells us that if the heart condemns us, that God is greater than the heart. God's judgment is greater in the fact that He knows us even better than we know ourselves. And tonight, I want to encourage each and every one of us not only to be servants of God, but as we serve, ask why we serve. Do we serve because we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And as we serve also, do we love our neighbor as ourselves? That is indeed the second commandment. And if we do these things, we too shall live. Not only live here in a way in which God will bless us, but we too shall live eternally in heaven someday. Are you a servant of God? Have you given your life over to Christ to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin? Have you confessed Him to be the Son of the living God? If not, we want to invite you to do so tonight. If you're here and you are a wayward member, and we can pray with you and for you to help you be restored back into a faithful relationship with our God, we extend His invitation to you tonight.